Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Craig McTavish will join us in about 3 minutes' time. DJ Smith just coming by, the assistant coach for the Los Angeles Kings. He was with Ottawa at the start of the season with Steve Staes, been there a number of years, won a Memorial Cup with the Oshawa Generals in 2015 against Leon Draisaitl after they beat Connor McDavid. We have some news for you as fans. Something that we're accused of not doing, we're going to do tonight, and in a big way. So stay tuned. After we get to the game day lineup report for McGuire Financial.
The game day lineup report is brought to you by McGuire Financial. Have the right teammates on your side for your financial future. For a free financial consultation, visit McGuireFinancial.ca.
Edmonton Oilers finished with a plus 57 goal differential, 49-27-6. Under Chris Knobloch, Edmonton went 45-18-5 with a 7.03 winning percentage. That was the best in the National Hockey League, a plus 72 goal differential. Second in goals for, fifth in goals against under Chris Knobloch. The Oilers also first in shots for, fifth in shots against, third in faceoffs, and second in expected goals for. The Oilers were third on the power play and seventh on PK. In other words, they were top 10 in every major statistical category under Chris Knobloch. It'll be Connor McDavid up front with Adam Henrique and Zach Hyman. In the last two playoff series against LA, McDavid has 24 points in 13 games. Leon Draisaitl has 12 goals and 20 points in 13 games against LA the last 2 years of the playoffs. He'll be with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Warren Fogle. Yesterday, Dylan Holloway was with Ryan McLeod and Corey Perry, but remember, Evander Kane has played with McLeod and Perry as well. Carrick and Janmark were with Kane yesterday. Those will be the 12 forwards. Late today, Derek Ryan and Connor Brown on the ice. They are not in the lineup. It'll be Matthias Ekholm with Evan Bouchard. Bouchard has 15 points in 13 playoff games career against LA. Darnell Nurse with Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak along with Vincent Dernay. Stuart Skinner starts in goal. Baptism under fire last year. He went 5-6 with 3.68 goals against average, .883 save percentage for the Edmonton Oilers in the playoffs. Edmonton winning in 6-7. L.A., Andre Kopitar with Alex Laferriere out of Harvard and Adrian Kempe. Kempe has been the Kings' best forward against Edmonton the last 2 years. 7 goals, 14 points in 13 games. Philip Deneau, a great two-way centerman with Trevor Moore, who's had a 30-goal season this year, and Victor Arvidsson. He's going to be an interesting UFA. Could be a lot of teams in on him. Very good friend of Matthias Ekholm's, by the way. Blake Lizotte with Kevin Fiala and Trevor Lewis. This line has killed it analytically for Los Angeles. And then they have Dubois, Grundstrom, and Byfield on the fourth line. There's a lot of depth on this Kings team, which finished third in the league in goals against, 16th in goals for. Anderson and Doughty. Drew Doughty plays the most of any player in the league, 25-48. Gavrikov and Matt Roy. Englund and Spence. Cam Talbot is the expected starter. In his NHL career in the playoffs, he's 15-16, a 2.51 goals against average, and a .921 save percentage. Cam Talbot this year was plus 14 in goals saved above expectation. Under Jim Hiller, LA went 21-12-1. They were 10th in points percentage, 20th in goals for, 3rd in goals against. They were 10th on the power play, 8th in penalty kill, 20th in shots for. They don't score like Edmonton does, but they got a good team. There's no question about that. The LA Kings and the Edmonton Oilers. All right, now, we're often accused in this show of not doing, not giving back for the fans. Why don't you guys ever give away free tickets? Holds have been released from the opposition team. That would be LA tonight. So we will tell you that the LA... Mac, you're up right now, just in case you're wondering. You can probably hear yourself loud and clear.
I can. A little too loud.
A little too loud. Okay, Tom, if you can turn that down. If you're done eating, there we go. pet peeve number one. So here's what we got going on. We're calling it the Oilers Newbie Family Experience. As soon, here's what we're going to do. The Kings have released some tickets for tonight. We have 6 4-packs of tickets to give away right now. You can, all you have to, here's the catch in this is, I want this to go to families of four who haven't had a chance to get to games before. So call Kellen back at the 630 Ched studio, 780-496-0063. Again, we've got it. We've got a total of 6 sets of 4-packs of tickets right here, right now. Kellen Kennedy is back at the 630 Chad Studios, 780-496-0063. And our preference is, if you have not been to a game before at Rogers Place or your family hasn't been allowed to take on a playoff game. There we go. Let's get into the business now. It's Mac T on Mondays. Craig McTavish joins us courtesy of Contrac Equipment Limited, Canada's premium heavy equipment dealer with rental and sales. Mac T, your mic is hot. You're ready to go. It is the Edmonton Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings. Third consecutive year. This is a match, but you know what? So playoff teams the last 3 years, but different head coaches this time. Kings, Oilers have made the early move on Jay Woodcroft. Todd McClellan moved out midway through the season by Rob Blake, his good friend. And so we end up with Chris Knobloch against Jim Hiller. Does that change anything? Because tactically and technically, the Kings have changed very little in the Hiller to transition from Hiller to... Todd McClellan. Conversely, Edmonton dramatically changed their defensive zone coverage under Chris Knobloch.
Yeah, hard to believe that so little change tactically happened after the coaching change in L.A. And, I mean, Todd McClellan was in the Coach of the Year conversation early in the year, which tells you a little bit about the job security and coaching in the NHL these days. But, no, Jim Hiller, he's got a lot of experience, a lifetime hockey guy, but neither one of these coaches have any NHL head coaching playoff experience, which it'll be interesting to see how they adjust and make the adjustments, the tit-for-tat adjustments that are necessary during the playoffs. I mean, I love playoff hockey from a coaching perspective because it brought in, first of all, it eliminated your game breakdown or pregame scout, because your pregame scout was your game breakdown, and it much more strategic in the playoffs than at any other point in the season.
We're joined by Craig McTavish, Mac T on Mondays again for Contrac Equipment. Craig, I got to ask you this question: the Edmonton Oilers have not won a game one home game since May 2nd of 1990, when you and Kevin Lowe, our last guest, were playing for the Edmonton Oilers game one of the playoff series against Chicago.
That's hard to believe.
Well, okay, but there's a catch here. Think about what happened in 1991. You guys opened up against the Calgary Flames in 91. Calgary had home ice. Then you played L.A. in 91. L.A. had home ice. Then in 91, you ended up having, who'd you lose to, in Minnesota? You had game one at home and lost game one in 91 at home.
Right.
Then in 92, you guys opened up on the road against Vancouver, beat Pat Quinn and the Canucks in 6 in 92. Then in the L.A. series in 92, you opened up the road, got the split that year, okay, in 92. And then in round 3 in 92, you got the Chicago Blackhawks, but they won in game 1 and game 2 at home. So that takes care of the 90s. Then we get into the runs 97 to 03, those years where you played either Dallas or Colorado. You opened every series on the road.
Yeah.
You were never at home. Then during your 06 run, where you guided the Oilers to the Stanley Cup, on the road in Detroit, on the road in San Jose, on the road in Anaheim, on the road in Carolina, you never opened any of those series. Now we get to the Connor McDavid era, 2017. Oilers open up against San Jose, lose game 1, win the series in 6. End up in a situation where win game 1 in Anaheim, win game 1 and game 2 against Anaheim, ultimately losing to the Ducks in 7. So the Oilers, under McDavid, the Oilers have lost... The Oilers have lost games won at home against San Jose in 2017, Chicago in 2020, Winnipeg in 2021, LA in 22 and 23. Now they've won some of those series, San Jose and the two series against LA. Does it mean anything?
Or, well, you know what I take out of it all?
What?
Is you rattled all that off without one note. And,
does that surprise you by now?
That surprised me. That's hard to do. I mean, I played and coached in a lot of that, and I don't remember any of it.
Well, you also didn't. You also were the last man in the NHL not to wear a helmet, so maybe we.
Yeah,
should
well,
be.
They told you know.
They told me I was.
I think I got through that unscathed.
Well, you got over 1,000 games in the league, which is 1,000 games more than I played.
Did I say I think I got through that unscathed? Well, maybe I did.
Yes,
Sean Podine used to say that all the time to me.
Well, Sean knew how to decompress.
Yeah, but no, I think it does matter here in the last couple series against LA. I mean, it's got to tighten the focus a little bit. I have a hard time explaining or coming up with a reason why the Oilers have come out flat in game ones to start. I mean,
can you be too wound up?
No, I don't think so. I think it calls for emotion. It calls for energy coming out of the gate for sure. I mean, you look at LA's lines and
they're
deep.
They've got a deep set. Craig, their best, if you look at the LA Kings possession metrics, their best line in terms of the analytics is the one with Kevin Fiala on it, with Blake Lizotte and Trevor Lewis. That line has the puck a ton when they're out there.
Well, it looks to me like you can't keep everybody happy. And there's 12 forwards here that are going to want to play somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes, and that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I would say Kopitar's line is the first line
with
Kempe and Laferriere, who I like a lot, has really emerged to me. He's a really good player. But, I mean, there's not a lot to choose from. So it's going to put a lot of pressure on the third and fourth lines of the Edmonton Oilers to play even hockey. And if they can do that, you know, our top two lines should outplay whoever they're playing against. It's really hard, really a lot of depth up front. This is a very dangerous team.
Craig McTavish joining us, MACT on Mondays for Contract Equipment Limited. We have Tom Davis being pulled out of retirement to help engineer the show for us. Canada's premium heavy equipment dealer is Contract Equipment with rental and sales. Guests and Oilers now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. Open Monday night, tonight, for Game 1 of the Oilers and the Kings. It's open right now if you head over to Roost Chris. Back with more with MACT on Mondays for Contract Equipment when we return. All right, just so you know, we mentioned before that we ended up in a situation where we ended up with 6 4-packs. Last-minute giveaway, the LA Kings released their holds for this game, and people said, Stauffer, you guys never do anything for the fans of the show, never give away tickets. The 6 4-packs, and our preference, again, was for people who had never been to the game before. You can stop calling our hotline at 780-496-0063. Those 6 4-packs are completely, claims. So there you go. It is MACT on Mondays. We want to mention to you Dennis Laliberte, Jason Laliberte, New West Travel. We got an Avalon River cruise next March. Explore Southeast Asia as you discover Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. Your 19-day tour includes a 7-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wines, and daily tours. You'll be immersed in cultures and ancient traditions as you sightsee and spend time in the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. Booked by May 31st to save $1,300 per person for full details. Contact New West Travel, newwesttravel.com. You sick of me? Like,
we spent a lot of time together lately.
So, special shout out to
code for yes.
Yeah. Special shout out to Cal Nichols, who was kind enough to fly you, me, and Jason Strudwick up. Eric Thurston and Nicole Menzies up in Grand Prairie booked us. It was great seeing Murray and Rick and all the guys up in Grand Prairie again. That was an awesome event for the three of us, and the travel back was pretty good too, because I know there's a lot of people fighting. They might be listening to the show driving down from Grand Prairie today to get here for the game, but it was awesome having that event on.
A lot of great fans up in Grand Prairie, and those guys pay the price to watch a hockey game.
Right.
That drive down here and, you know, overnight here, most of them that I talked to that night, but really passionate Oiler fan. So hopefully we all put on a good show for them tonight.
All right. And then Saturday night, you were part of the Toast of the Town event, which Barry Stafford and Brian Antes kind of got started a number of years ago. And it's got it's obviously for cancer. And it was Cal Nichols night, Toast of the Town. And, you know, Cal and Patrick LaForge. And then we had yourself and Kevin Lowe as part of it. And John Sexsmith, Marilyn and the gang, they did a great job, extensive job.
Bryn Griffith, your colleague.
Yeah, Bryn was rock solid. Dave Jamison chipped in. We had lots of support from everybody. That was a fun event as well. It was great seeing Ken Nichols and Heather, because they're in Dallas now full-time, as you know. But they made the trip up, and it was a really cool night to celebrate.
Yeah, it was a worthy, welcome tribute to a guy that's meant a lot to our city. And Cal and Edna Nichols have done so much for the city, and Barry Stafford and Brian, they raised, I mean, $450,000 for cancer research. So that was time well spent.
Craig McTavish, Mac Tia, Mondays joining us. Bob Stauffer with you in Oilers Now. We're live in Fort Hall as it's starting to pick up a little bit, about 3 hours out. You asked me a question during break. Did anybody ask either Chris Knobloch or Connor McDavid about, you know, not winning game ones at home to start the series? And the answer is yes. And Connor goes, well, we won game ones in a series before and lost the series, and we've lost game one multiple times at home in series and won those, including against San Jose and twice against LA. You coached, you played, you managed. Is it harder? I asked Kevin Lowe, is it harder to play at home than it is on the road to open a playoff series?
I think there's more pressure on the home team, for sure, because if you do drop it as the visitor, you know, as Wayne Gretzky said many times, the series never starts till somebody loses a home game. And so the pressure is on the home team to hold court, but it is a significant advantage, home ice for our team in particular. We play very well at home. I'll be surprised if we drop this game tonight, but I guess I wouldn't be shocked. It's, you know, we're in against, as we talked about earlier, a formidable opponent that's got a lot of depth.
Yeah, there's no question about that. The Edmonton Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings. And the Kings, Mac T, I'm going to ask you a question technically about breaking the 1-3-1. So last year you're on St. Louis' staff. I'm not a big fan of the 1-3-1 in the neutral zone. I don't like seeing forwards ever wiggling their ass back as they skate backwards through the neutral zone. I want there to be applied pressure. But L.A., this has been part of their modus operandi, and they're quite good at it, and all you need to do is look at the fact that they finished third in the league in goals against. And if you don't give up goals, you can win a lot of games. What's your thoughts on that 1-3-1, and what's the best way to get to it?
Yeah, I don't like it either, and I always thought, I remember Andy Murray played a very conservative system, and when Kevin Lowe was the coach, he'd be yelling at Andy to forecheck, and they just back up and cattle herd the ongoing rush. I often thought as a coach and a manager that there should be something like an illegal defense for five players all retreating backwards. And I don't like it. I don't think it's good for the game. It's successful because LA has allowed the fifth fewest goals against in the league. But they don't score a lot. I think, you know, they don't apply the pressure. You don't get the up-ice turnovers. I think they're 20th in goals, five on five. So it looks like we've talked about before, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I mean, you can reduce the amount of goals you give up, but you're not going to be as dangerous offensively. And for that reason, I don't like it. And it puts the bit in the mouth of your players. It forces them back. And the natural inclination of professional athletes and world-class athletes is to go get it and don't absorb it. But I think the Oilers did a pretty good job. You have to look to the pockets in behind the flanks on the three. It's a 1-3-1. You come up in my mind, the best way to beat it is you come up with speed, you have a lateral pass with your two defensemen that beat the first guy, and then you drive the puck up, and then you lay it off the boards to speed into that pocket in behind the two flankers. Whether you go up the left side or the right side, it really doesn't matter.
So speed matters on the wings.
Speed matters, yeah, and coordination. Like, you don't want to get your speed too early and have to stop at the blue line. So timing and practice is pretty essential to execute it well. But I know Craig Berube had the term pockets, that we wanted to fill the pockets in behind with speed. And I thought last year it was a very effective way to try and beat it.
Have you, we're joined right now by Craig McTavish here on Oilers Now, live again at Ford Hall. Perhaps this reinforces why Dylan Holloway's staying in the lineup. He's got 3 goals and 5 points in the 6 games since he's been recalled, so he's been productive. He can skate, and he can push the pace, Mac T.
Yeah, his baseline game is going to be great. And the baseline game is speed, get in on the forecheck, finish checks, and execute the system. And if he does that, that baseline game is going to help the team, regardless of how much he scores. And if he adds to that baseline game with some offense, which he's been doing, he goes to the net, he gets stick on pucks that go to the net, and he understands how you have to score and where you have to go to score, given his current skill set. He'll get better with the puck, but it's still, he's a developing player, but what he brings is going to help our team.
We're joined by Craig McTavish, Mac Tia Mondays for Contract Equipment. We're live in location at Ford Hall for Contract Equipment, and we're going to head off to a Global News weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn. More with Craig McTavish when we return live from Ford Hall on the Oilers Radio Network.